Anyway, so we're not talking about that state of chronic confusion, that sort of shilly-shallying. You know, it doesn't matter about whether you become a Buddhist or not, but really make sure you do something with your life. What we're talking about, the doubt that Chao Chu and his disciples create, because they all create it, it's a community, it's a communication. That doubt arises out of a deep commitment to spiritual life, to Buddhist life, born of a genuine faith and commitment. And this faith, of course, is not belief, it's not dogmatic adherence. This faith is an intuition, a sense, even a kind of insight and a vision of what is possible, a vision of Buddha nature even. You sense that there is something profound and mysterious to discover, to unfold, to become, to be. And so you commit yourself to the path of practice. And you keep going, even when you're not in contact with that initial vision. You keep going, you keep faith with it. But this very faith, this very practice, generates doubt in the sense of a deep questioning of your life and of your experience. In fact, this kind of deep questioning, this great doubt, is implicit in your faith. Maybe sometimes it will even come before faith in some people. True doubt can sort of give rise to faith, as well as being an expression of your faith. So it can engender it, engender your faith, and express it as well, be an expression of it. So discussing faith and doubt like this, we're not just having an interesting look into ancient Chinese Buddhism. We're talking about the actual dynamics of spiritual life. So let's try to relate it to our experience. Maybe we don't have the extraordinarily intense and ascetic life of Chao Chu and his followers. Well, maybe we don't. But what about us? What about our faith and our doubt? And when I started to think about this, I remembered a time in my early teens, 13 or 14, maybe 15, that terribly painful, confusing time. When it's all happening, it's all kicking off at that time, isn't it? All those chemicals swirling around, all that kind of post-puberty stuff, and you don't know who or what you are. And I remember a time during this where I had the first stirrings of a real doubt. Not a doubt in the sense of a lack of commitment, but a questioning of life, a deep questioning. Not that deep, of course, because I was so confused. But something was going on. I was brought up a Christian, good old C of E, High Church. So it was church every Sunday, sometimes twice. I was in the choir. I served at Holy Communion. I must have looked very sweet. I did have a big question. And God, Christ, I never really kind of went along with them, really. They just weren't apparent. I mean, this creator of the universe and this saviour, they just weren't apparent to me. It's not that I had kind of anything against them, but they just didn't seem to be around. They weren't there. I didn't feel they were there. So surely then life is just physical, materialistic. That's all there is. There's nothing spiritual. It's just stuff. There's nothing deeper, nothing higher, no purpose. But I wasn't convinced by that either, that kind of materialistic outlook, because I did have some sense, maybe some romantic sense, of something deeper. I knew I didn't want to follow convention from an early age. I knew I didn't want a regular job. I knew I didn't want to get married and all that. But at that age, spiritual religion was identified with God, the Creator. So I was in a real conflict between a materialistic worldview, if you like, and a religious worldview. And I can remember we had a very good religious knowledge teacher at the school I went to, and he used to organise these class debates, you know, on things like the existence of God and things like that. I could argue for both with equal gusto, you know, even I could take both sides. And one day I'd be definitely religious, and another totally anti-religion. There's just physical existence. It was a real issue amidst the maelstrom of post-puberty. But the thing is, that questioning, that doubt got me searching, got me looking, got me longing. I experienced openings, usually to do with listening to music, usually listening to John Coltrane and people like that. And that got me into reading and exploring in those ways. A kind of faith, an intuition was developing. Eventually got me to Buddhism, to the Dharma, reading Lama Govinda's books. And I was just amazed because here was religion, here was spiritual life without God. A rich, deep, thorough spiritual life that you could live, that you could internalise without a God capping it all, putting the mockers on everything. And there was an immediate connection when I started to read about Buddhism. Eventually, of course, I devoted my life to Buddhism because nothing else seemed to be worth a candle, worth doing. And, you know, I lived happily ever after and everything went smoothly. I sailed down the white path to Nirvana. I wish. And I'm sure my story, my early story, has resonances with yours. You know, discovering Buddhism. Yes, yes. Certainty. That's a laugh. But, of course, this doubt doesn't go away. That deep questioning doesn't leave. It can't leave. The dialectic between faith and doubt, in fact, is what spiritual practice is all about. In fact, it's important to generate the dialectic, the tension between faith and doubt. In fact, in Zen tradition, they say there are three elements that are needed. Great faith, great determination arising from the great faith, great doubt. Great faith, great determination, great doubt. These interact and they lead to great death, which leads to great awakening.